young man left his homeland on a search so grand and far. A mission of compassion, a journey of the heart, looking for the treasure that would make his life complete. Then at last he found her on a dark, deserted street. Her eyes were sad and empty, her face had lost its glow, her spirit tired and needy, for sin was all she'd known. Lying in the gutter, she could not
redemption. That's what the Sabbath. Amen. Excuse me. So welcome to the house of the Lord today. It's good to be here with you. Just want to go ahead and turn to the scriptures. And just a little bit of lengthy reading here just for a moment. I'll pray and let you be seated. We'll go to Isaiah chapter 2. I want to read verse 12 through 21. Isaiah 2, verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, and upon all the high mountains, and upon the hills that are lifted up, and upon every high tower, and upon every fenced wall, and upon all the ships of Tarshish, and upon all pleasant pictures. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. And in that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. I want to read from Revelation chapter 6, verse 12, which is the sixth seal. Revelation 6, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Amen. And I want to go to Joel chapter 2, verse 11. Just one verse there. Joel chapter 2, verse 11. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? And then we want to read one more section of scriptures in Psalms chapter 121. Psalms 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Just pray. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we just want to ask God that you would just let your blessings be upon this assembly and upon this gathering today. Lord, that you would speak your words to us, that you would cause us to be able to rejoice in your presence, Lord, that not just to rejoice and to feel good, feeling good in your presence, Lord, but to take home with us something that lodges in our hearts that we can remember. Something, Lord, that you can bring to remembrance, and whenever the right time comes, Lord, that you can quicken to us. We're asking, God, that you touch every heart, both present and those that are streaming. Go out to each one, Lord. We ask, God, that you just touch their lives now. We surrender this time, this service in your hands. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You can be seated. I want to talk to you today about the day of the Lord. And specifically, I really want to talk to you about the believer's security in the day of the Lord. So I'm going to start out by reading a quote about what the day of the Lord is. Of course, everybody thinks it's Saturday or Sunday or whatever day that they worship. But here's what Brother Ram says in the Patmos Vision in the Church Age book. He said, "Now, we know what the day of the Lord is not. It is not Saturday or Sunday. What is it? Well, let's put it this way. Today is certainly not the day of the Lord. This is man's day. It is man's doing, man's work, man's church, man's idea of worship, man's everything, for it is man's world, man's cosmos. But the day of the Lord is coming. Yes, it is. It is just that at this time of the revelation of Jesus Christ, John was taken up in the Spirit and transported by the Spirit to the great day that is coming. The day of the Lord is when the days of man are over. The kingdoms of this world will then become the kingdoms of our God. The day of the Lord is when the judgments fall, and after that comes the millennium. Right now, the world does what it wants to with Christians. They call him all manner of evil names, make fun of him. But there is coming that great and notable day when they will wail and howl, for the Lamb is coming in wrath to judge the world. That is when the righteous will have their day with the Lord. For the wicked shall be burned, and the righteous shall walk over their ashes into the millennium. For Malachi 4 verse 3 says, "And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord." So we realize the day of the Lord is when man's day is finished. When everything man has tried to do, everything he's thought was a good idea, tried to set up every program, it all comes to naught. And so the scripture says in many places, who can abide in the day of the Lord? Who's going to be able to stand? I think it even mentions one place where, you know, who is this that thinks that's longing for that? Who do you think you are that you're able to stand in the day of the Lord? And so we kind of want to talk about this just for a little bit. We know you've heard it been said, and that Brother Branham's, you know, his sermons were actually announcements. Not just the topics of what he would talk about, but even the titles were announcements. They were announcements. They were declarations of things that were happening, things that were being put in motion, and that, you know, Brother Branham's whole entire ministry was basically to release in this day what God was doing, because, you know, the scripture says that surely the Lord won't do anything but what he reveals it to his prophets first. Right. And so we realize that a prophet is a divine interpreter of the word. And, you know, I've had conversations with people before, and they say, "Well, you know, Brother Brown taught this, but somebody along before him taught that same thing." And I said, "Yeah, that's correct. You know, he came to tie up loose ends of different things, and whenever... if the Catholic Church had something right, Brother Rim would say they got that right. If the Baptist had something right, he'd say they had it right. But he'd also tell you what was wrong." And so he would take that which was right and that which was good and bring it all together and collect it all together. But I said, you know, yeah, somebody else might would teach something like that. But you realize that when God comes along and he has a vindicated prophetic ministry that's coming the way he said it would come, when that ministry stands there and declares it, that chisels it in stone pretty much. I can't go by what Larkin said, because Larkin wasn't a vindicated prophet. But when Brother Branham would say, this is correct, what Larkin said, this is correct, now that's something you can take to the bank.
Right.
You follow me?
Amen.
Because that's kind of the kind of minister we've been visited with. And so his whole ministry was announcements and so forth. And so I don't know, we've kind of mentioned it maybe a little in the past. When you get old enough, enough years go past you, you don't know, remember what you've said and what you haven't said. But, and maybe I've mentioned this, but you know, when Malachi came, and you read in the book of Malachi, it's the last book of the Old Testament. And, you know, from the time after Malachi went off the scene, you know, or after that time was written, there was about 400 years where there was no prophets. Israel was carried away into Babylon. And so the Old Testament closed out with Malachi standing there, and Malachi brought Israel into basically a court trial. Because Malachi was standing there and he was telling them, here's what you've done wrong.
Yeah.
And he was bringing them into a court trial. He said, you have despised my name. And they're like, well, when have we done that? And he would tell them, you've offered polluted bread on my altar and you've robbed me. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, how have we done that? How have we polluted thy name or polluted thy altar? Or how is it that we've robbed you? And so you see, Malachi was standing there saying, this is what you've done, this is what you've done. And he was basically bringing them into a court trial. And then Malachi said, he says in there that this, I don't know if I'd call it a famous scripture, but the scripture where he said, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, my name will be great among Gentiles. So he was telling the people, this is what you've done, and now God is going to turn to the Gentiles.
Yeah.
Right? And that's exactly what he did. And we're beneficiaries of that. But I want to show you there was that the Old Testament closed out with God bringing Israel, ushering them into a court trial where he brought accusations against them by a prophet and brought judgment upon them. And it closed out that way in the Old Testament. And we find out that the New Testament is going to close out the same way. That God is going to take the generation that has done the same things that Israel had done, polluting his altar, doing all those things that he's going to, and has done that, he has ushered them into, in this generation, into a court trial, and a vindicated prophet has said, here's what you've done wrong. You've done this, and you've done that, and because of that, judgment is falling upon you. It's a court trial. And we realize Brother Branham preached sermons, a trial, right? He preached a trial, and he preached a sermon called, and I'll read a quote here in just a minute, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not just some man just saying, this is absolutely the pattern that was in the scripture. God has brought this last day generation into a court trial.
Right.
They've been indicted for what they have done, and now the judgment has to fall upon them because of these things. And so Brother Ram, he would preach a trial. But you know, and all this happened right about the time the seals was open, because that was the turning point there. And then he could say, I indict this generation because they crucified that word, that presence of Jesus Christ in word form that was promised to come was now here. They crucified it. And so he preached that and a trial. But he also at the same time preached some sermons called Pardoned. Right? Because you realize that he's coming to get to a people, and those who can receive it can be pardoned, and those who reject it, they've been indicted.
Yes.
That's what's happened. And so the Old Testament and New Testament closing out with the same situation, same thing going on. And so in the indictment, Brother Branham says, and today I indict this bunch of ordained ministers in their creeds and their denominations. They are crucifying to the people, the very God they claim to love and serve.
Right.
I indict these ministries, or ministers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ upon their doctrine that they claim that the days of miracles is past and that the water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ is not sufficient and not right. And upon any of these words that they have substituted creeds for, I indict them as guilty. And the blood of Jesus Christ is upon their hands for crucifying afresh the Lord Jesus the second time.
Yeah.
They are crucifying Christ to the public, taking from them the thing that they're supposed to be giving them. And they substitute something else in place a church creed or for popularity. And so he certainly, and if you go back and you read there in Malachi, Malachi addresses the ministry. He said, this is for you priests, because they're the ones who was guilty of, because you know, they were the religious leaders of the people. They were guilty. And just like this generation, the ministry today is guilty because they have not held this word to the high standard it is. And that's why you see the world the way it is. And so now they've been brought into indictment and judgment now is fought because of what they've done. So Brother Branham preaches four different times, the world is falling apart. And we've mentioned this quite a few times in the last 6 months about the world falling apart. And so the world is falling apart. And it has to. It has to, because what man has done to it. Basically everything that man has touched has become so corrupt, and it's really becoming more and more clear to us now as believers that that's what's happening. And so the world is falling apart. And again, these were sermons that were preached right around the time of the seals opening. And so the world is falling apart. Brother Ram told us about that the governments were corrupt. And you and I couldn't see that back then. But we see it now. We see it very clearly now. The colleges and the schools and the things that they teach in the colleges and schools, look what it is now. Look what they're teaching. Look what they're doing. You know, so he told us about these things. He talked about the medical system, how that you take a medicine and, if you take something and to help one thing, it tears down something else. How many's experienced that in your own life? You take a certain medicine and it's to help something and there's a side effect. I took something one time, 2 days in a row, and I raised up in the bed and had nosebleeds from it. And I pulled out the little card and sure enough, so I never took it anymore. But he told us that that was a situation that the pharmacy and the medical system, he told us the money system in the United States was in bad shape. Well, we can see that now for sure. Money system and inflation and everything's going south. Man can't hold anything together. And even the things that he used to be able to do a halfway decent job with, he can't even do that now. Right? So every system that you want to look at that man has got his controlling is falling apart. The churches are corrupt. The morals are corrupt. The morals have just bottomed out. Motherhood's gone. The food that we eat is hybrid. Right? Please, if somebody can name one thing that man controls that's still good, it's not.
Right.
And it's getting worse by the day. The mental capacity. I'm naming things that Brother Branham specifically addressed. And if you're a tape listener, you know.
Right.
He specifically spoke of these things. And the world will listen. They're thinking we're crazy. But listen, we've been told. We've been warned. And now we see it in full capacity. Now what's going on? The mental capacity. Brother Branham said it used to be you had to go to an insane asylum to see him. He said, but now it's walking up and down the street and even coming into the church. Right. Walking down into the pews. You used to have to go somewhere to see, you know, they put people in a place, a pest house or whatever, they put them somewhere like that. Now it's everywhere. And so now a lot of people don't even know what gender they are. They it's just bizarre.
Right.
Every day I told my dad, I said, nothing surprises me now. The stuff that they say and they do. Because the mental capacity, and a prophet told us this, 60-some-odd years ago, that this was coming. Why? Because he could see it, and it was obviously in an infant form, but to him, he was just seeing it just full-blown.
Right.
And so the mental capacity is gone. He talked about racial division, and here we have it. It's right here today, and I've mentioned these things several times, and these things are so. This stuff that, and the reason why I'm saying this is because, we have a tendency... human nature, we have a tendency to lean on the arm of the flesh.
That's right.
And even as Christians, and we believe God, we love God, we want to serve God, but we still lean on the arm of the flesh. And so we have to come to grips with this. We have to come to the realization that these things are falling apart. They are. This country, this world is changing. And it just has to be that way. You know, when something decays enough, you take a house maybe that's Maybe if it's got a leak in the roof, you know, you might be able to patch that or put a bucket and catch the leak when it rains or whatever. And, you know, you might be able to compensate for lacking in the structure. But after a while, you finally get enough things that go wrong with a house, whether it's termites or whatever, wind damage, the roof's half ripped off or what. But at some point, that house gets so decayed, you can't prop it up. You can't do enough compensation to make up for the lacking in other places. And eventually, you just got to step back and it just has to collapse. Right? And that's what I'm getting at. This whole world has come to that place that it's so getting so bad that this system can no longer prop up where this other system is lacking. This government can no longer take care of this situation because the whole thing is getting so sickly that it just can't support itself any longer and it has to collapse. And so I could say, unfortunately, it affects all of us when it does, but I'm not going to say unfortunately. I think it would be better to say fortunately it affects us because these things are happening and it is collapsing. Brother Brandon was trying to tell us through these announcements he made. But here's the thing. As these things are happening, as the world is falling apart, why would we want to continue to look to those things as the answer? If you know that your government is absolutely, I mean, look at it. It's like looking at a kindergartner's. So when you see that, how can you put hope in that? When you see that the religious system have absolutely walked away from this word, how could you have confidence in that? When you see the medical system, and I thank the Lord for medicine, I'm not condemning that, but look what it's become.
Right.
Look at, they can't give you a straight answer on nothing now. Used to, you know, you could go and it would seem like you could, but now it's just so messed up. How can you have confidence in something that's collapsing?
Yeah.
You can't. And that's the whole thing. I want to 2 points, I think, that I want to really try to stress to you today is the realization, get ready, start moving in your life to let go of these things that we've had confidence in because they are falling apart. And at some point, we can't have any confidence in those things at all anymore because it's not a place that we can go to look for these things. So while they're falling apart, why would you want to have confidence in a system that's falling? It's kind of ignorant to do that. Why would you go back to a house that's collapsing and have confidence that can keep you safe from the elements?
Right.
It's ignorant.
Yeah.
See, and so we've got to come to grips with this, that Brother Ram was telling us the truth. This thing's falling apart. And why would he tell us this? So that we could direct our attention to and our confidence to the thing that is correct, that we would look to the hills from where our help comes from. That's why I read that scripture. See, that we would look to that and stop looking at these things here on earth because eventually some of the blessings you have right now is going to be taken. Some of the things that you have is going to go away. It's going to happen. It has to. And so I'll clarify that in just a little bit more. I think my battery just died. So, see what I mean? Batteries die because they're man-made. But the Shekinah glory never goes out. Yeah. So, Brother Tim's going to go get some more so I don't have to stand so close to the microphone, but these things they're falling apart. And we've got to come to grips with that and realize that we've got to stop having confidence in things so much, into worldly things. And I say worldly, I don't mean sinful. I just mean things that this world provides you, the comforts of this world, because those things are disappearing very quickly. And I know, surely we see that now. How's that? So, our faith and our confidence must be, and before it's over with, I'd say it must be in God and God alone. And so, I'll say this, on rapture morning, how much confidence in God is enough? How much confidence, if we have 50% in God and 50% in the world, is that going to work? And my point is it's not going to work. And it's God's design that it be this way, that this world has to fall apart for you and I to get to the place we need to be where we're ready in rapture morning.
Amen.
It has to be that way.
Right.
And so sooner or later, it's going to start. Actually, you've heard me say, and I think maybe even Brother Brown might have said this. I don't remember for sure, but just hold on to the things of this world. And I don't mean sinful, but I'm just saying the comforts of life that we've been allowed to have. Hold on to those very lightly, so that it doesn't hurt too hard when it's ripped out of your hand.
Right, yeah.
And I know this is not a real, not a sermon that would make you want it, but it'll do you some good, okay? Because I'm telling you that this is happening, and I want you to properly understand what's going on in this world right now, so that you know that you're not left and undone when these things start happening, when you start having to feel the pressure in this flesh because of the things that we stand for, that you'll realize that that's just God getting you ready.
Yeah.
He's not abandoning you. That's not how we measure things. And so our faith needs to be. And so I would say, 10% is not enough. 50% is not enough. 90% is not enough.
Right.
We have, and here's why I'm saying it, because as long as we have confidence, as long as there's some other way besides totally trusting in God, we're going to fall back on that because that's the way humans are. And God's trying, that's whole thing is to get a Christian to where they have total, complete confidence in the Lord. When Brother Branham was standing there before those thousands of people to do that discernment, did he have confidence in himself? There wasn't anything he could do. The only thing he could do is have total, complete confidence in the promise and the gift of God. And God would work it out. And so we have to come to this. And I really believe that when we come to rapture morning, it's not that we're going to have any confidence in anything of man, but totally, completely in the promises of God. And so how can that happen? Well, if you were laying on your deathbed today, you would have to believe God. Like Brother Brandon was telling about, with him and his wife were kind of in a spat with each other about Rebecca and her becoming kind of wild. And Brother Graham said, "Listen, that's my daughter." She said, "My daughter too." Or she said, "My daughter." He said, "That's my daughter too." And said, "We've got to turn her over to God." And he said, if she was dying today, we'd have to.
Yeah.
And so that's what this world is dying.
Yeah.
This world's dying.
Right.
Your flesh is dying.
Right.
Your bank account's dying, whether you see it or not. It's coming.
Right.
See? And this whole world's been dying, and it's just being propped up.
Yeah.
And the props are falling, and everything's just... But it's the hand of the Lord, because it's the day of the Lord that is upon us. And this has to happen first and foremost to get you and I to the place where we totally trust in the Lord and not in the arm of the flesh. Do you remember the story about the eagle and the baby eagle in the nest? And how that mama built the nest and the baby's in there, and at some point the mama starts pulling the stuffing out of the nest. And when she pulls that stuffing out, it reveals thorns that are there. And that eagle's, he's been comfortable all this time.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden these thorns are there, and it's not so comfortable to be in the nest anymore. We talk about this till you're probably tired of hearing it, but here's the thing. Mama built the nest to begin with.
Yeah.
Mama put the cushions in there
right.
to begin with. Because mama knew you need the cushions for a while.
Right.
But mama also, and I say mama, I'm talking about God in this parallel. Mama also decides when it's time to start pulling the stuffing out of the nest to start making you uncomfortable in the nest of this world.
That's right.
Mama does that. The little eagle had nothing to do with it. Mama, the intelligence of mama, knows how to get that baby eagle out there in the air, flying and soaring, where it's the most powerful it can be. Because the most vulnerable place for an eagle is in the nest or on the ground.
Right.
See? So mama knows that, okay, we've had plenty of years or plenty of time of being isolated and comfort so that these thorns are not sticking us, and we've had that. But then mama says, it is time to change things, because If I leave it like that, that baby eagle will never leave that nest. That baby eagle will never come to its full potential until that stuffing gets out of that nest and mama begins to do all the things she does to get that baby eagle out there in the air, flying and soaring by faith. And so she's the one that makes the determination when that time comes. And when God says that the time comes for things to change in this world, they're going to change. It's not a curse upon the eagle. It wasn't a curse. It's like so many things in God's word. It's like a paradox, or because to leave that stuff in there in the nest, that would be the bad thing. Right? But it looks like pulling the stuffing out of the nest is the bad thing.
Right.
And when you go through trials and tribulations, sometimes it looks like a bad thing, but it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's God working on our character and getting us ready.
Yeah.
And so, you know, those thorns were there all the time.
Yeah.
They were there all the time. It's just that mama kept you protected from them.
That's right.
That's right. Been that way. And so those thorns were always there. This world has always been falling apart. Especially here in America, we've been protected from it. There's been nations that never has had much of an economy, and they just live in third world countries and so forth. But those thorns were always there. The world's always been falling apart, but God protected us from it. Religious persecution has always been there, but we've been padded from it. That's right. There's people, I don't know about this year, but just maybe a year or so ago, I mean, if you look it up, there's people being martyred for Christian beliefs in this world today in numbers like it never had been before.
Right.
That's right.
That's true.
Religious persecution has always been there. Brother Branham said that you know, because of the laws and all those sorts of things, it's been bound up, but now it's being loosed to bring that persecution upon the bride. The same evil spirits that brought the Holocaust upon the Jews has now been turned on the bride.
Yeah.
That's right. And so it's just a matter of time until the laws, and we're already seeing it, until the laws actually get changed so that we become criminals for what we do. The Old Testament was closing out somebody. Remember Daniel? Remember the Hebrew children, how that they were there, had to make a law to make it illegal for Daniel to pray,
yeah.
Right? Had to make it a law that if you didn't worship the image, and the image was actually of Daniel,
yeah.
Right?
Right?
See, they had to change law, and that's what I'm saying. It closes out the same way, and this stuff is happening. So it's just a matter of time until it really comes close, and we begin to feel the pressure and the heat from that. So it's always been there, but God's kept us protected from it.
Yep.
Other nations have had to deal with it severely, but we've been protected of it.
Right.
And so as these things begin to come and make us uncomfortable, the whole purpose is not to bring punishment upon us or anything like that. The whole purpose is just to get us out of the nest of the world, to get us to live by faith in the promised word of God, because where we're going is a dimension of faith.
Yeah.
It's where we live. And as Brother Daniel was praying there just a little while ago, that soon we'll get to be there. There won't be any hindrances. Not like that. Not like we have here now. And so the whole purpose is to get us out of the nest of the world and get us out there soaring by faith, believing every promise of God, where we are the strongest and we're not vulnerable anymore. So God has come along and pulled out some stuffing, and we're beginning to feel it. We're beginning to feel the pressures of what Brother Branham said was coming.
Yeah.
Right?
Now,
I have to be honest with you, and I don't think anybody else knows. We do not know how much pressure we're going to receive before he finally takes us.
Right.
We have to be honest.
Yeah.
But I will say, there are things coming that we will not go through, that God will take us out of here before that. And it's all in the message. There are a lot of it. But how much pressure we receive, how much being bereaved or bereft, or however the word is, this world's goods, how much of that we don't know.
Right.
And really, it doesn't matter. It's just that God's the one that knows. And he knows how much stuff and to pull out of the nest to finally get you and I to where we're willing to soar rather than try and stay as babies in the nest. And so that's the whole purpose. So he pulls out some stuff, and he pulled out something long about January of 2020. And that thorn that was revealed is called COVID. COVID-19. Has it affected anybody in this room? Sure has. It's affected the whole planet. These are Bible times. You know, they say, oh, a pandemic of biblical proportions. That's right. And I realize it's been, a lot of it's in a bunch of political nonsense and a bunch of lying, and you can't, but it's a real thing that is affected, and we have all have been affected by that. So he's pulling a little stuffing out. We find out this money system, Brother Branham said, was all messed up and failing. It really is. How many has felt the pressure of inflation over the last, since January 20th?
Right.
How many? Yeah, we've got it good here. There's other places in this country that gasoline's almost double what we pay here, right? And it's been that way in the past too, but the inflation, why? It's going to hit our pocketbook. Did your pay that you make at your job go up that much as the inflation did in this last few months? I think last month was the highest inflation it's been in 29 years. I think it was last month or one of these months recently. But your pay didn't go up, so it's not. So now you feel, hey, this is not as uncomfortable. What am I talking about? The standards of comforts of living that we've been able to have are going to be affected.
Right.
It's going to put pressure on us. And that pressure is going to challenge us as to where we stand on how strong and how firm we stand on what we believe.
Yeah.
Because you can rest assured, the devil's in these details, even though God's allowing it to happen, it's a tool in his hand. The devil's in these details, and you can be guaranteed that the pressure that's coming has compromise connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
To get you to compromise is what this whole thing is about. To get you to compromise and not hold what you stand for and what you believe, that's what's tied to it, to get us to compromise. Because Satan is all about saying, well, you know, it's going to be hard on you, but if you'll paddle in my boat, it'll be easy for you.
Yes.
It won't be so rough. That's the whole purpose. That's why we said, you know, in armies, the first thing you do is you go and you try to cut off their supply line and starve them out. So you'll either paddle in our boat or else. You'll either follow our medical advice or else. Right?
Yeah, right?
That's what they're doing. See, these are precursors of the thing that's coming. That they refer to the mark. We know the mark's already here, but I mean in their realm of the mark not being able to buy or sell, that's what they're all looking for. I heard a guy this week talking about, oh yeah, this is the mark. It's a precursor, because look at the cycle it's moving into.
Yeah.
Total, complete control of the entire planet, and you must do this or else you will suffer greatly for not doing it. See what I mean? But it's not so much the physical compliance they're looking at, because you could be a total prisoner to a wicked system and still be free in the Lord. But what Satan's got in his mind is coming down on that belief that you have in your heart of the Word of God. That's where it's coming. See? But you've got to get the populace. That's what Brother Ram's talking about. You've got to get the, you know, the laws and everything on the books and everything such that they can do what it is in their heart to do to begin with. And so that's where it's going. To finally get to the place through all these things that they can say, ah, you'll either sign up with the way we believe or else. See, they can't quite do that right now. They can't quite come out and say, unless you sign on the dotted line with the Catholic Church, you can't have a job. They haven't said that yet. But you know where it's going, because the Bible said it was. Right? And so that's what's happening. The money system, there was another padding that pulled out. You're seeing padding pulled out, and the next thorn that's been revealed that we're having to deal with is the laws that are changing supporting LGBTQ+. And it's in the workplaces where they're telling you, you've got to do this, and training you, and telling you, you've got to receive training because you're biased against that. That's what they told us at work. You are biased against that kind of thing, and you've got to be trained so that you know how to get rid of that bias. That's what they're saying. I can show you the documents. You see? Because that's the way it's going. And it's just a matter of time until they put, you know, they put the pressures on people if you don't comply. I mean, it's already in the writings there anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, they could probably go ahead and terminate me just for what I've said today. That's where it's going. So another stuffing has been pulled out of the nest. This is not so comfortable now. Because now what they're telling us is that you might not have a job if you don't comply with mask mandates or vaccination mandates or with LGBTQ plus mandates. And all of these things, right, are moving in that direction to do the same thing because of our belief in the Word of God. Totally and completely in the Word of God. I think about there in the scriptures where they're like, we're not eating from the king's table. You know, you just feed us this other stuff and live just see. And you find out after a while that because they took a stance and said, we're not going to eat from the king's table. Not talking about the Lord, but him as being king. Not going to do it. And they actually fared better because they were eating something you would think wouldn't be as good as what the king had to prepare. And there's a concept there. It's like Abraham when he come back and he had all the spoils there, you know, when he delivered Lot. And the king of Sodom, he's like, I'm not taking one bit of this from the king of Sodom.
That's right.
Because he made Abraham rich. But I look at that and I said, you know what? I don't want to have anything, I don't want to have any prosperity in under my belt from an ungodly system.
Right.
Follow me? From an ungodly system. If I have to compromise what I believe, that I might not feel the pressure of these things they're putting on, this is the decision we're coming to, see? We have to realize that's coming. That's what this stuff is. And all this falling apart is judgment coming upon men, but it brings us to a showdown where we have to determine whether or not we truly believe the promises of God and will stand on His Word. So, He pulled stuffing out, and that law is being changed. Pulled stuffing out, and we found out that we do have a corrupt voting system. Brother Brown said it back then, and we just saw it happen again. It's corrupt. It's all messed up. It is. We realize that. It's been revealed. They can say whatever they want to, but anybody got half a brain knows this was a job. Whether you agree with who's in office or not in office, it was messed up. Brother Brown told us that, and it's been replayed before us again now, and we realize that. It's so messed up. And now, so what I would say to us as believers is like, you can't have confidence in a voting system that's corrupt. And I'll tell the people the same thing. You'll never have another free, fair, accurate election. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If it does, it'll be God's plan, and you won't like what you get. See, because we are in the mode where it is collapsing, it is failing. And so, I don't like to say, well, I can't have confidence in them. I don't like the feeling of saying we can't vote in who the populace of the people want. I don't like the feeling to say that this country is collapsing. I don't like to say that these things are coming. I don't like it. It makes me feel uncomfortable. But it's there. And it is coming. And so these are all stuffings that have been pulled out of the nest so that you and I begin to realize we can no longer be comfortable in this world. We got to come to the place where something in us wants to be with Him more than here. Just like we realized the type of Enoch when he walked with God. After a while, he realized he was closer to God's world, a kingdom, or home, than he was in his earthly home. Right? Yes. We've seen that, how that was illustrated that way. Mm-hmm. To finally realize, you know what? I'm actually more comfortable walking in the Spirit and living by faith, not knowing where my next meal is going to come from, than I am to be back here and going to church and having some of the blessing of God, but then I have to come and deal with Pharaoh. I have to come and deal with Caesar. So 5-6 days a week I'm having to deal with Caesar and all his ungodliness, and the only reprieve I get is just to come to the house of God on Sunday with believers, and I enjoy that, and then I have to go back over here again. And at some point it's coming to a place where we realize that he's going to say, you can't even go on Sunday anymore. You can't even be what you want to be on Sunday. And we have to come to that place where we realize this is a decision time that I'm going to stay with the Lord and you do whatever you want to. And I'm not telling you not to obey laws. I'm not telling you, but I'm just telling you the time will come, and it's rapidly approaching, that these freedoms and these things that we've enjoyed all this time it's disappearing. And there's a showdown and a decision time between us and for the things of the Lord. So I could go on and on about all the different thorns that have been taken out, that are being taken out to make us uncomfortable in this world. It's true. These things are real. They're upon us. There's things happening now we would have never guessed. Could never guess that you could look out and see these things the way they are. But it's happening. So I asked you this question, a few questions. Can we go in rapture if we're not ready? Now, I'm not talking to you as people out in the world, because I could say to people in the world, if you're not ready, the rapture will go without you, leave you behind. That's the whole idea. But you can't say that to the bride of Christ, because she's the bride of Christ. Does she have to be character molded and made in her? You betcha. So can the rapture happen and leave her behind because she's not ready? And the answer is no. She has to be made ready. So she has to go through these things, the character and the mold, building the character and molding those things in her, has to happen before rapture. So we can't go if we're not ready, right? So can we go if we still are holding on to things of this world, if we still have confidence of things of the world? See what I mean? At what point do we reach the place where we have so much faith in the Word of God that we don't, that God says, okay, they're ready. And are we going to still at that time have confidence in the arm of the flesh? I think not. So how do we get there? Well, by God making the things of the flesh collapse and fall, where we realize that the only way they can do anything good for us is for us to compromise our faith. That's where it's going. That's the way it is. You'll either do it or I'll make you suffer. That's the whole Catholic thing. You know, you'll either come to our way or we'll kill you. Right? Muslim, you'll either come out or we'll kill you. Right? You'll either do this or else. So that's the cycle it's in. It's been there all along, but now the stuffing's been removed and now it's coming our way, and the prophet said it was coming our way, but now we can see it really is. And so that's the whole thing, is it's to bring it down to a place where he wants us to compromise our faith and belief in this word in order to minimize the suffering we have in the flesh. Follow me? And that's the thing that you don't want to do. You don't want to compromise this message so that you can minimize your suffering in the flesh. So the Lord has to get us ready. So when the scripture said, the day of the Lord, who can abide it? I'll tell you who can abide it. The bride of Jesus Christ, the elect bride of Jesus Christ, can abide it because he's helping her. Whenever the Exodus was going on in Egypt, God came in there through a prophet and absolutely crippled Egypt. All those plagues and all that stuff, to me, it was doing two things. One, it was crippling Egypt, but at the same time, the first thing is it was building faith in the heart of the children of Israel when they saw what God was doing. When they see that God could put such a difference between Israel and Egypt that even at the night of Passover, that not even a dog would bark or move his tongue in Goshen, where Israel was, but people were dropping dead in Egypt. So God was building faith. These plagues and all this stuff happened, looked like it would be terrible. And I'm sure it wasn't comfortable for Israel in a lot of ways. But they were protected. And the whole purpose there was to bring their faith up and confidence and get on board with what God was doing. And while it was happening, Egypt was being destroyed, bringing them to nothing. God could have brought Israel out of Egypt just simply by speaking the word, and they could have disappeared out of Goshen and been in the promised land. But he didn't do it that way. He didn't do it that way. He went through a process of plagues and destruction and all kinds of things, bringing Egypt down. But the purpose was to bring Egypt down, not to bring Israel down. The purpose was to build up the faith in the children of God while everything else was falling apart. And that's what had to happen in order for this thing to unfold the way it did. And that's the way it is now. For us to be in this Exodus and go in this body change, these things have to collapse. This thing has to be revealed like this. It has to get bad. And like I said, I know it's not a comfortable message, but it's the truth. And so the whole purpose there was to bring faith up in Israel and get them on board with what God's doing, and then it was destroying Egypt in the process. So, as I said, the pressure will be to compromise on the Word of God. And at some point, this is going to hit our standard of living. At some point, we're all going to be faced with financial decisions or decisions that's going to affect our standard of living. The comforts that we've been able to have, we're not going to have anymore if we stay with the Word of God. But that's the showdown that's coming, because that's what's on Lucifer's heart, is to put pressure on to make people give in. And so when you see in the scriptures it talk about he's going to try and wear out the patience of the saints, because that's what he tries to do. Just keep buffeting, as Brother Ram said, just keep buffeting, keep rolling, keep hitting until we get tired and give in. See? Well, in times like that, you've got to be connected. You've got to be connected to something that keeps you from getting tired. You think about it. You go out, and I don't care who you are, even I remember when we was up at Devil's Den and we was trying to find the sisters, and Brother Dylan took off running. He ran that whole thing. I don't think he ever stopped, come back. I thought, man, it'd be nice to be young again. Run that whole, however far it is, and never stop. You know, because he was healthy or whatever. But even he could go through something physically where his muscles would finally give out. And the reason why is because the resources to replenish it can't keep up with what he's burning. But you take the human heart, it's pumped every day of your life and never got tired. Because it's built in to keep the supply line coming, to keep it moving, keep it working. And that's what I'm saying. When this time comes, in order to keep him from wearing out the patience of the saints, we got to be connected to the thing that keeps our stamina going. Because if we don't, we're going to get tired. We're going to get tired. And that's exactly what he wants to do. And so, this pressure will be for us to compromise. You know that's what it is, to compromise. Where, you know, prior it's like, well, he wants you to compromise, so your sisters will compromise your apparel or your hair or makeup or whatever. But the stakes are getting higher now. When I say higher, I mean, I don't know if you can get higher than that, but it's going to be where it's in this life, in this world. Like the scriptures we said the other day when we read it, that if you seek to save your life in this world, you'll lose it. But if you'll lose your life here, then you'll save it. And Jesus tied that to, let every man pick up his cross, follow me daily, deny himself. See, that was there, and it was in all three of those scriptures where I read that. And that's what we're talking about. There is a cross for us to bear right here in 2021. The bride of Christ. There is a cross for us to bear. And I imagine as Jesus was trying to take that cross up the mountain, probably that cross got heavier and heavier and heavier. Right? Yeah. And that's the way it is. It's for things to get heavier and heavier and heavier. But all I can tell you is that he that keeps you, he doesn't slumber. He doesn't sleep. He will keep you. But we got to stay in his ship.
Yeah.
Right. And when these pressures come and these things happen, we got to stay in the ship. There may come a time where we don't have a church building we can come to. There may come a time where we don't have a job because of their rules and laws they put in place. There may come a time, it's happened for many people prior, all throughout all the ages, that wouldn't have food on their table, but God would provide for them. And so that might happen. We don't know what the level is, but the main thing is whatever level we're in, to trust God. Like Brother Branham said, this may not be a perfect quote, but he said, it's not how much of this world's goods that you're allotted, but it's the contentment you have with the portion that you do have, that you are allotted. And if God so chooses to take away our comforts of life, where we have nowhere to go except out underneath the tree to have service, or we don't have jobs, and we don't have our vehicles, we can't make our pay, you know, whatever. If that's how we find ourselves, then to be content. And how does that happen? Just because you're connected to the one who keeps you. And realize that character is more important than any worldly thing, any worldly good that we could ever have. Having character to believe God and trust Him is the most important thing. And so he gives the example we read the other day in Hebrews chapter 11, all the ones in faith, and comes into Hebrews chapter 12. Let us consider Jesus. Look what he went through. And during these times of troubles, make straight paths for our feet. We are believers. The whole thing hinges upon God's plan and God's program, and we are in favor, in his favor, and he will protect us and keep us. So I'll end by saying we'll lift up our eyes to the hill from whence our cometh our help. Amen. Amen. It don't come from the government. It doesn't come from the medical system. It doesn't come from masks, from vaccines. It doesn't come from a job that pays what looks like pays your bills. It comes from Almighty God. And that company can't fire you if he won't let them. We keep telling you, Jesus came to this place where he understood who he was, and no matter what he suffered in the flesh, he fulfilled the word of God. We've got to come to the same place, right? Come to the same place and say, you know, it doesn't matter what you do to me and what they do to us, we're believers. Mm-hmm. We are Jesus Christ in bride form. So it doesn't matter. But we've got to come to that place where we are pat on that and understand that everything is, it's all about God's program. And so we look to him no matter what we find ourselves in. And we'll be content. Amen. Amen. I would say that, you know, Brother Brown talked about it. He said if there was never another book of Acts, another chapter, another, you know, it's right now, it'd be written right now.
Right.
But it probably wouldn't be nobody to read it necessarily. But I'd say the same thing about Hebrews chapter 11. If there'd be another chapter written, it'd be another chapter of faith. And, you know, it always baffled me. You know, in my own thinking, that those people went through what they did that you read there in Hebrews 11. And yet the scripture said that they are not perfect without us. Because God has so wrapped up his program in such a way that none of us can be there without the rest of them. We're all one big family, and there will not be one missing. And so no matter what they went through, they can't fully come to their blessing until we come in, until what God does in us. And then he'll get us all together. There'll be one fold and one shepherd. And we'll all be there. So we'll leave all the details up to him and just believe him as these things unfold. So as the day of the Lord is upon us, and God is absolutely, absolutely the will and the way of man is coming to naught. These things don't work anymore. What man tries to do and what they put in place is absolute, and they're frantic. They're frantically trying this, trying that. It's unbelievable the technology that they're using now, but they can't live right.
Yeah.
Got technologies that just absolutely blows your mind that they can do some of the things they do, but they can't live right. Right? Their morals are trashed.
Yeah.
And it's all because they left the Word of God and they go to that direction, all that scientific things. And science is interesting, but it's not our God. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. We'll let the musicians come. Amen. The world is falling apart. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord, as we come to the end of this service, we just asking, Lord Jesus, that you will bless the hearts of your people, that the things that I've said, Lord, may be broken up in different ways, and that you would just put it all together, Lord, that it would speak to their hearts, and they go home and be able to remember something that's very, very important and to help them in time of need, that you could bring to their remembrance. We ask, God, that you would just bring the confidence that we need in this hour as these things unfold. We ask, God, that we would be able to hear it right, that we might be able to say it right. We ask, God, that our perspective of these things, that, Lord, it will not be fearful, but it will be of confidence, realizing that these things coming to naught, Lord, that in order for us to be birthed there, we have to die out here. We ask, God, that you just help each one to understand that and put that down in their spirit, in their walk, so they can flesh it out in a pleasing manner to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Let's all stand and worship just for a moment as we get ready to go. Remember those who are missing today. Please pray for my wife. She's been not doing good for several days now. But I know God is for you. So Lord bless you.
Oh.